and welcome to the Highbury Hangout podcast. In today's episode, we'll be chatting all about that win over Leicester. So, first things first, the weekend's results and the others guarantee us that a top three finish is now secured, which essentially means European football, to an extent, is secured. I say this because, obviously, it means that we go in at the same point as we did last season. If we'd have got second, it's just a much clearer path to the group stages, in my opinion. Obviously, as we saw with Linköping and Paris FC, you have to fight those for those extra places, and you are a little bit open to the luck of the draw, in my opinion. And then even within that, a lot of people said that Arsenal had a lucky draw, but we then lost Paris FC, who have then gone on to have this amazing season. So the start of the game, it was pretty calm. There was definitely intent from Arsenal, but definitely a very calm approach. But it was definitely obvious that the intentions were to really utilise Beth Mead and Caitlin Ford in those channels. Beth Mead actually opened the scoring, drifting inside of Mead and got the ball to Pullover, and then continued her run to then receive the ball back from Ford. As you can see, there's some link-ups there. Mead then lifted the ball into the net, and it was a pretty tidy goal, to be honest. Manu Zinsberg on the other end definitely made some important saves, especially some big, like, reaching saves on behalf of Yuka Momaki, who you may recognise as a player that we played against when we were in Linköping. Small world football, but there you go. Anyway, so the game did definitely, like, build, but I would say overall Arsenal looked very much in control. It was just about utilising those moments where we were in the box. So Steph Catley's intensive press was definitely a highlight for me. Jonas Advil also spoke about how important she was in this game, and actually also touched on the importance of her playing in different positions and so such when she plays for Australia. So it was clearly on show, this press, though, throughout the game. And then Catley secured the ball at about the halfway line and just, like, absolutely did not stop. There was defenders coming for her, but she was just charging down the middle. She then obviously got the ball to Russo, who scored the goal. Mead then scored the third and final goal with a little tap-in teed in by Russo. Another important aspect of the game, which I just don't think can be overlooked at all, is the sheer number of returns in this game. So we had Laura Wiemreuter, who made her Emirates return. She obviously has played for Arsenal since the ACL injury, but I think especially poignant given that the injury happened at the Emirates as well. I think psychologically that can often be a large step as well. We also, really a big relief for everyone, is we saw Frida Leonhardsen-Mornum return to Arsenal and return to playing. This is after she also had to miss, obviously, international football in the break following the events at the Conti Cup final at Molineux. And last but not least, of course, Viv Miedema also made her return to the squad and to playing. She didn't get loads of minutes, but obviously that is a gradual increase for her. But I think it was a pretty fair amount. It was very decent. I think she also played really well. You could tell how much she wanted it. She looked eager to be out there, which I think is also really important in what is being dubbed as the comeback 2.0. Now, as we kind of discussed before, in all honesty, other than maybe the competitors slipping up, I would say it's safe to assume we will end up in third. Although Bunny Shaw is injured with what looks like a broken foot, actually, so that could be the rest. That is obviously the rest of the season. However, actually, I'm sorry. Many segues today, everyone, but what I'm about to say is really entertaining, so it's worth it, trust me. So in his press conference ahead of the Leicester game, Jonas Advil actually spoke about an Australian athlete who basically was ice skating in the Olympics, and he comes through and he was in dead last place, like, was not performing at the best, and then everyone in front of him slipped up, took each other down, got in the way, etc. And then therefore he could come in and swoop. And his point was, you always have to be ready for, like, if your team's, if the opponent slips, are you there? Are you ready? Or does it even matter if they don't slip? So I do think that is a valid point, that should City or Chelsea slip, we still need to be ready to kind of take advantage of the moment. But overall, I think it is best to really, like, temper expectations on that front. But as I say, so this leaves us third currently with 43 points, which is 11 points ahead of United. So obviously that third place is very much confirmed officially at this point. Some quick stats on the game for you. So there was 42,820 fans in attendance at the Emirates at the weekend. Now, this isn't a sellout as we have maybe got accustomed to rather quickly, but I actually think this is almost more important of a reference point because, all due respect to Leicester, it's not a big blockbuster like, say, the United games or the Chelsea games at the Emirates. I also think we can all agree that Arsenal are kind of, they're definitely looking into how much promo is needed, when to pounce, when not to, etc. I think this was a good marker of that and how much promo they do need to still sell it out versus not. But sadly, for now, that is the final game of the season at the Emirates. So all the rest are away or at City. Obviously, next up is Everton. Emily Fox got the Arsenal Supporters Club Player of the Match, which I think was very well deserved. Quick look at some stats now. So 61% possession for Arsenal, 39% for Leicester. I think it's pretty explanatory from the game. Arsenal definitely had the control most of the time. Obviously, we will dive into that a little bit more in a second. And then shots on target, 10 for Arsenal, 3 for Leicester. So for me, the biggest breakdown of this game actually comes based on what Jonas Eidevall was speaking about. So he said that when he was chatting to the press, he said that he really felt that there was a disparity in the first and second half performance. Ultimately, in the first half, Arsenal were good on the ball. I think we weren't in danger per se, I would say, but we were really quite passive and the countering wasn't really there. And then in turn, this allowed Leicester, I would say especially like Momaki or Peterman, gave them a decent amount of time on the ball and a decent amount of space as well, which is, I think, is crucial to this. And then from that, in the second leg, in the second half, Arsenal were more aggressive and they were more proactive, and you can definitely tell that. I think in particular, Alessia Russo and Caitlin Ford were a lot quicker to their players. And then as well, I would say, well, I think Lotta is having a player of the season worthy performance, but I think again she did well. She did that role of knowing when to stay back as a defender but also pushing up for the press and her own goal potential exploits, which I do think is a really fine art. So overall, I would say that Arsenal did well to stick to the game plan, but ultimately the second half just simply had better positional awareness. And also, I think what we're really seeing from Arsenal now, which I think is this point about I've been making all season long, about yes, it's frustrating because on paper you're like, well, we have this amazing squad, we're finally stacked, why are we in third again? But like, this is to me a season of growth, because you do have to get used to playing with all of these players, both as a player and as management, to understand how to lock everyone in the best way and things like that. And I think also just an understanding of how each other play the game. And I think what we're seeing now is this movement and freedom from the players, where essentially none of them stayed in their original position from when the whistle went. And I think that's not just in the Leicester game, that is across games. And I think that will only continue to grow, and hopefully isn't too stunted. Obviously, we're going to go into summer break relatively soon, obviously a few weeks left of the WSL season and the Premier League season, but then obviously we all then go away, well, not all, obviously there's quite a few teams that aren't heading to the Olympics. I do think in that regard rest will be good, but in general I think we're just starting to hit that, like, the sweet spot of understanding of how to play all together, which is also why I've said before that I don't think we will then proceed to actually spend huge amounts of money or buy loads and loads of players. I think one or two, obviously you've got to keep it ticking over, but I think we're starting to see more of a pattern in how Arsenal are playing, whether that be because we know how to now play against low press or, you know, a high press. I think we kind of have both under control now. So that concludes the analysis of the game, but let's talk Arsenal news to finish off as normal. So super excitingly, some of the all-stars that will be facing Arsenal in Australia in the break just before the international break, one of the players that's been announced is Alex Chidiak, who is an insane player. If you don't know, get to know. I definitely will be doing some like information on the players that we're going to be facing, as well as I think who's likely to be given a bit of a pass for this game and who isn't, in terms of rest and recovery. Although what I will say is Caitlin Ford has recently spoken about how excited she is because it will be the first time that her sister and her close family will all get to see her play for Arsenal since she signed. She said that obviously she's had friends over and etc. and a few family members, but you know, this will be such an amazing opportunity for the Australian players she was talking about, which I thought was a really lovely touch. Now, a bit of a big news, I personally think, is the Everton ticket situation for this weekend. So with less than a week to prepare, Everton gave Arsenal 250 tickets, which is actually the largest they've given to any away fan segment the whole season long. Everton have now taken back some of the home tickets. So the away tickets, if you bought your own away ticket, the official away tickets, absolutely fine. Home tickets that are quote unquote supposed to go to Everton fans, Arsenal fans have been buying them and Everton have now cancelled those tickets. Now Arsenal are aware of the situation and they have been in contact with Everton, but it's looking very unlikely that this can be solved. It seems to be that what they have done is non-local-ish postcodes in terms of where the buyer is registered to is how this has happened. And then they don't want, obviously, the home section to be overwhelmed by Arsenal fans. I think in the men's game, to me, this makes more sense because it can quite honestly be a safety issue. Women's football does tend to be more peaceful, but I think they are... The point itself that a home, if you're going to have a home and away section, if you're going to be separate, I think that's valid. Is it a bit difficult to police? Absolutely. And is it a bit difficult to do it at this point where people have done, you know, transport, etc., maybe even hotels? I think that is a bit difficult. Obviously, lots and lots of thoughts. I would actually love to know what everyone thinks on this. For me, the biggest issue is definitely the timing, but I think the principle itself is okay. But I do think this is going to be an issue that women's football comes into more and more and more, especially as, unfortunately, some teams are going to have larger fan bases, because I think we're at that point of the growth where, say, Arsenal have an absolutely massive fan base, but others are still working on building that community and things. And I think that's for a variety of reasons. And yeah, what I will say though is that Everton away last season was one of the first times that, not the only time, but one of the first times I think, where I was like, wow, their home section is actually making a lot of noise. Like they had a drum, there was a clear intention behind some of the songs, etc. And the other thing, just based on chatting to a few Everton fans to get their take on it before recording this, is that they have been saying that there's been quite a few derogatory chants headed their way, especially even at children. Obviously, this is how they've experienced some of these things, which is absolutely horrible to hear. And I think, obviously, you don't want that, especially within what should be the safe environment of the home section. So definitely understand it from that perspective. And hopefully, obviously, that can be weeded out in general anyway. I am of the firm belief, as I know is are most people, that that doesn't have a place in football and it never has. But yeah, definitely many layers to this one. So yeah, please do get in touch if you have any thoughts. But for now, that concludes this podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. Bye.